Unity is strength and to show success.
Number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Our very special guest joining us live from the capital, Wellington. His name is Phil Rose, ladies and gentlemen, from Wellington 9/11 Truth. One of the, probably I'd say, the most active 9/11 truth group in the country, responsible for getting Richard Gage speaking at the Te Papa Museum. Phil, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Vinny. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excellent. I know that the final question you usually ask is, what is your website? Can I just go ahead and tell you now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nz911truth.org, and there's no NZ on the end. It's just nz911truth.org. And I'll admit that nz911truth is a bit of an overloaded term, because that is also the email address that Will uses. Isn't that right, Will? Is that at Yahoo?
Yeah. It's at hotmail.com.
At Hotmail, yeah. And you probably used it before we used it, but whatever.
Yeah, I was called a shill once for even having that email address, because apparently they're banned. You know about that one?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I heard about that.
Hotmail restricted them, yeah. Yeah, so I must be on the inside of Hotmail.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have worked hard.
Will Ryan, our fabulous 9/11 Truth Hotmail insider. Here we go.
Yeah, well, since you brought up the Richard Gage event in 2009, that has been our big event that we've been able to do so far, and it might be the only truly big event that we'll ever do. Who knows? But who knows what the future may bring, like 2012. But that was, it's just like conspiracies. It's never just one thing. It's always a combination of things that kind of work together to make something happen, whether it's good or bad. Richard Gage was already in Australia doing presentations. I think it was something Truth Down Under or something. So it didn't cost that much to bring him over to New Zealand. And another big thing that we were able to accomplish was getting Te Papa as a venue. And one of our members who goes as Truth Mama, I don't know if I can use her name or not, she worked very hard on that and making contacts with Te Papa early on. We understood later on that there were some very heated meetings within the 4 or 8 or 10 walls of Te Papa about whether or not they should actually let this thing happen. So, but they agreed.
But thank goodness it did. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Philip Rose from nz911truth.org. We will be right back momentarily.
Yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow? Like this, like this, like this. Let's do it.
How many dudes you know wrote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the most hardcore crew in talk radio, the crew at the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. If you cruise there, you'll be able to have a look at the fabulous archives I've prepared for you for your listening pleasure, commercial free and in high quality. Our very special guest joining us live from Wellington is Philip Rose from New Zealand 911 Truth or nz911truth.org. Phil, welcome back.
That's right.
We do have a large American audience, you know, and sometimes they don't know the difference, you know. Although maybe I'm being a bit pretentious here and saying that because the people that do listen to the show in America are generally some of the most educated people in the country. So
that's true, and I'm sure they know that Z is British for or Z. Did I say that right?
No, actually, anyway. All right. Anyway, moving right along from the grammatical errors, we have slightly more pressing issues. You finally managed to get old Richard Gage to come into Te Papa, and I hear that it was packed so tightly that there were people indeed sitting in the aisles.
Yeah, that's true. Just to continue on. Just a little bit more on what it took to get it to happen. That, again, for the wider audience, when we say Te Papa, that is the Museum of New Zealand. It's the National Museum of New Zealand. So needless to say, it's quite an accomplishment to be able to get a truth event going on in a national museum. But we did manage to pull it off thanks to the diplomatic skills of Truth Mama. And then we had saturation coverage. We printed 10,000 leaflets and handed them around to businesses and homes in different neighborhoods. And also, I think maybe one of the big things was that there's a local weekly free newspaper where on there was a truther or was on the staff, and she published a full page article, very glowing article about Richard Gage and the upcoming presentation just about 3 days before. So it was just a combination of things that caused Te Papa, which has this 300-seat theater called Soundings Theater, and they thought, oh, you guys will be lucky to fill that up. And we kept telling them, well, have some video crew on hand, have a it's going to be overflowing, we think. And sure enough, it was. Numbers vary, but it was at least 800 people. So they had another room where they had a video link up so that people could, some of them, granted, coming and going, but so that they could actually listen to the presentation as well.
I think you had a number of things working for you guys, not least, I'll just say her name, Helen. Hi, Helen.
Yeah.
Shout out to you guys. But some really hard work going on, and also a responsive community compared to what we see in Auckland here. I mean, sure, there are a lot of great people here in Auckland, a lot of people who are tentative, to say the least, about the ongoings of our governments. But, you know, Wellington seems to have more of a small community ethic about it and a lot of alternative thinking people there. So it just seems like a good recipe for change, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And we also have, by that time, we've managed to gather about, say, a dozen people, not all of whom are willing to go out on the street, granted, but who are willing to do behind-the-scenes work. And so that really made a difference, too. Yeah, I guess the one thing that we have, Will, going here for us with our particular group is consistency. We go out every month. I think we may have missed 1 or 2 months. But in the last 2.5 years, we've been out on the street every 11th of the month, just, you know, just because that's what we do. And over the course of that time, we've delivered, you know, thousands and thousands of truth parcels, as I call them. Our biggest day actually was a few months ago down at the railway station where we haunted those corridors many times. But on that occasion, we had about 5 or 6 people there, and we gave out 500 DVDs and flyers in the space of 2 hours in a venue where, you know, many of the people going by had already seen us many times before and already taken DVDs or already ignored us, whatever the case may be. But one thing that pleased me about that particular occasion is because I situated myself where a lot of the military people were walking by, and I think about a dozen of them actually took DVDs from me, whereas in the past they'd always, you know, just definitely looked the other way. So there might be a little bit of truth infiltration in the New Zealand military going on there.
Truth filtration.
There sure is. There sure is. Well, I know.
Truths out the fluoride, yes.
Yeah, if only. I mean, there's so many factors, but at the end of the day, we're dependent on the responsiveness of people, aren't we? We're dependent on a little thing called care. And it's funny. What is a recipe for care? It's kind of like the recipe for love, I suppose. One of those indefinable things, something a society ruled by the efficiencies of science can't accommodate for.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that does keep us going is that when we go out there, we do meet people whom we've seen before. And they come up and talk to us, and you know, or at the very least, they'll say thanks. I already have one of your DVDs, and sometimes they'll talk to us. But also, the other thing is that, like yesterday was the 11th in New Zealand. Anyway, it's the 11th today in America. Get out there on the street, Americans. But anyway, you know, I talked to one guy, showed him the DVD and the flyer that we have, and he said, "Building 7, what's that?" And I explained it to him, and it's like a light bulb went off over his head. And so, you know, just that one event, one instance itself kind of made my day, because I thought, well, here's one guy who's, you know, going to check this out.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of like what Howard Zinn said about how a truth can shatter 1,000 lies. And it kind of translates into activism as well, where one positive experience can overshadow 1,000 negative ones.
Yeah. Now, I hate to cast a pall on the occasion, but you know about Howard Zinn, don't you?
Yeah, the old commie. And he's dead now at the moment.
But he was a 9/11 truth denier.
Yes, I am aware.
We're talking about such shills like Noam Chomsky prior to the show. You know, Chomsky says, "Oh, just because the U.S. government benefited didn't mean that they did it." Well, of course, that doesn't mean they did it. But we're saying there's physical evidence that means they did it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they've never seen a crime thriller or something where there's this thing called motive.
Well, there's a motive. The motive is government gained by carrying out a false flag op. But he's saying just because there's a motive visible doesn't mean they did it. And he's right, but he's got too much of a narrowed, stupid head to be able to think that there are multiple reasons for something occurring.
It's like saying,
"Oh, well, the weather's changing, it has to be climate change." They pin on certain assumptions. You know, and these assumptions seem to overrule any other factor.
Yeah, but when
you go ahead, Phil. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about a motive. You were talking about motive there. What do they talk about in a crime? They talk about means, motive, and opportunity. And, you know, who were the people? This is one of the things we say, you know, who had the means, motive, and opportunity? And also the qui bono, who benefited from it. Well, just look at those. You know, just
I think
step
insider
back
trading. I mean, there was insider trading from September 6th till 10. There were record put options placed on United and American and certain banks that were tenants of the World Trade Center complex. That's lesser known about. Those were traced back to a former CIA director at Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, I'll think of his name tonight at 3 a.m.
Same here, but, you know, like the point is, people say, "Oh, that's just conspiratorial, that's no hard evidence or anything." Do they know how the average murder trial operates? Do they know what sort of flimsy totally paranoid conspiratorial evidence that is used every day, peddled for truth in courts every day in this country, every day around the world.
That's right. It's most cases are built on what do they call it?
Circumstantial
evidence. And you build up a whole big pile of that, and there's your case. And what some people are fond of saying too is that eyewitness testimony can sometimes not be reliable. For example, the famous experiments am I still on?
You're still here, Phil.
Good, because I heard a bloop on my phone. But you know, so they've done the famous experiments. The law professors or psychology professors in college classrooms, they'll hire somebody to come in and do something really crazy or stupid, and maybe not violent, but bordering on violence, and then he'll ask everyone in the class to please say exactly what happened. And everyone will say something different, and none of them will get it exactly right. And so, of course, obviously, you're looking at 9/11. You see buildings blowing up and falling down. But, you know, what you have to – I think that gets to one of my favorite topics is that what we need to try to build up – is a compendium of things that everyone can agree on. Because believe it or not, not everyone even agrees on thermite and the controlled demolition thing.
I've run into people who can't even agree that the air is 23% oxygen, and if you doubled that, we'd all get poisoned and die shortly. I mean, I can't get people to agree on any fundamentals about anything. This is the relativist world we live in now. It's really sad and bizarre. The funny thing is, though, these relativist people who can't agree that on fundamentals of life will tell me to abide by baloney bylaws, such as I can't park my car there for more than 15 minutes. So those become ultimate truths, and then ultimate truths become, oh, that's just your perspective.
Yeah.
Mental illness?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. That reminds me of the conversation that I was having with my brother, Will, is that my argument is that if you have a look at the population base and take mental illness as your case study, you would realize that it's not a minority that suffer from mental illness. It is indeed the vast majority that are just absolutely mentally out of their freaking minds.
But they rig it so that just like a test,
it's delusional.
Just like a test, though, they design tests so that half the people, like university entrance exams, so that half the people always pass and half the people fail. Therefore, they create their median at around 50%. Similarly, in a society, they have this social proof kind of democratic approach where the majority of people have to be right. The majority of people have to be sane. Therefore, they use the majority of people as a yardstick of normality. You know, but instead they should be using sound, verifiable facts and truths as a yardstick, and then measuring other people against that yardstick. And if you have to call 90% of people half-wit morons, then so be it. I mean, like yeah. This.
Well, see,
but we have a pragmatic society.
I have a bit of a problem with that, because I think that what happens is that. What has happened is that our education system, and I know it's true of the education system in America, but I think it's the one in New Zealand would be very similar, where the education system had been stripped of the tools of learning, which in the old days they used to call it the trivium. And the only place that you can get the trivium anymore is either in an elite private school, where of course these people are still taught how to think logically and how to fool the masses, and also in homeschooling. And I've gotten a new respect for homeschoolers once I started looking into this whole topic of education. There's an excellent book called The Underground History of American Education by a former New York City Teacher of the Year. His name is John Taylor Gatto. And for a mainstream book, it's just it's a completely damning indictment of the – oh, can I say that word? a darning indictment of the you know, of the people who have ruled over the education system and ultimately the, you know, the rulers of the country.
Totally agree. And you know what? When you have this debate with people, the one argument that comes up, you know, it's really sad. The internet can teach you a lot about people, how people debate and how people respond. And before you get out on the street and engage in activism, you really have to do the rounds on maybe YouTube and Facebook to kind of know how people think. On the homeschooling issue, people always say, well, what if their parents are uneducated? That's their only response. Well, why would their parents be uneducated? Because the system created them that way. So pragmatically, they'll say, look, their parents can't look after them. The state has to. But that's only the case because of a fundamental system, a systemic problem.
Yeah, that well, they don't want to address. And that's obviously a logical fallacy there. So, well, the parents are, I mean, first of all, you're stating something that's untrue. The parents are uneducated. Well, obviously, they know how to read and write, so that's a certain amount of education you have to grant. And then, therefore, you know, the state should take care of them. Well, there's another logical fallacy.
But how about the right to kinship? How about the right to dominion over your offspring? It's a natural right. I mean, it's an inherent right, and this is what worries me. This is why I see it as a kind of socialist ideal that seems to be underpinning a lot of what we see today. Would you agree? What do you think of the ideology?
I would agree with that. In that, you know, I mean, I don't actually have any children myself, but you know, obviously, I know people who do, and I can see what goes on in the schools where children are basically being indoctrinated. I mean, just on the topic of recycling and climate change and all that. I mean, the kids are being indoctrinated to think a certain way about how you should, you know, live your daily life. And it reminds me of the communist Russian system, whereby the children are supposed to daub their parents in if they're not doing the right thing. You know, it's pretty sick.
I know. Yeah, man. Well, we live in a ridiculously sick society, and from the health system to the education system to our prime minister John Key himself, it makes you very ill. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. A very special guest is Philip Rose from NZ911Truth.org. We'll be right back.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about things that you've seen before. A little bit of history repeating. The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back also to our very special guest, Phil Rose from NZ911Truth.org. Welcome back, Phil. Phil, are you there, mate?
Have we lost Phil? Oh, no. That's a
no, I see. I was being a good boy, and I muted my mic, and I forgot to unmute it.
Oh, isn't he a good little fella there? Oh, yes.
Hey, I'm not a little fella. I'm as old as both of you guys put together.
I don't know, mate. I'm 6'4". If anybody tried to call me a little fella, they'd be deathly wrong. I'm an enormous fella. All right. Now, back on the topic of 9/11, and you've done a lot of truth actions all the time. Now, what's the worst responses that you've been getting? I mean, I presume it's the typical, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. I mean, one time me and Will were doing a truth action on Queen Street, and these punks, you know, I mean literally dressed up as punk rockers and whatever the heck. One of them, we gave a flyer, and she screwed it up angrily as she walked up the street and threw it on the ground, and she went, "Bloody Christians."
Well, yeah,
and I thought, mate, what an anti-establishment representative, you know.
Well, she's a conforming non-conformist or something like that, you know, when they all dress up in their goth punk stuff. But actually, you know, one of the reactions that I got that really sticks in my mind, and it's kind of a sad one, was it was a firefighter who said, you know, I had started to give him a DVD and flyer, and he said, "Oh, you can't tell me that stuff." you know, and he just was getting emotional, like he was going to cry or shout or something. He said, "I'm a firefighter." And I said, "Well, do you know about, you know, Firefighters for Truth, whatever it is? I can't remember what it was called, but, you know, the Firefighters for 9/11 Truth." And, you know, he just wouldn't hear it. But, I mean, it kind of typifies the reactions you get, which are invariably emotional reactions. They're never going to be sort of calm, cool, and collected attempts to defeat you with logic.
Because if there was that, they wouldn't think that 9/11 was done by 19 amateurs with box cutters.
Yeah, precisely. So, we're used to getting ignored, having, you know, people's noses turn up at us and that sort of thing. But, I mean, it's nothing scary. And I guess that's something I would say to people. Because most of the people, you know, like right now on this radio show, possibly with the exception of broadcast affiliates who might just be accidentally tuning into the program, like up in Hamilton or in America, we're mostly preaching to the choir. So really what we need to try to do is to motivate people to get off of their couches and do something, you know, whatever their message is, whether it's fluoridation or GMOs, to actually try to do something about it rather than boring their spouses or friends, you know, just to get out there. And I see it as my job to lower the bar because, you know, you guys are inspirational. You do your videos, you have a radio show, and people like Evelyn, I mean, what a hard act to follow. She has a blog, and she's done some really fantastic interviews on other shows. But, you know, I'm just a guy, and I spend some time on it. But I go out once a month, and I was very nervous the first few times. But, you know, they're not going to bite your head off. They'll mostly just ignore you. And chances are you're going to convince some other people of, you know, about false flag terrorism. Because I see our job is to try to alert a critical mass of people. It doesn't have to be everybody. It just has to be a critical mass of people who are educated enough about false flag events that when the next one happens, and it always does, that they will know enough to recognize it and tell other people about it, and you know, swallow the, you know, the pill.
I totally think that's great, and I mean, I think 2011 is going to mean a lot for the truth movement this year. And I know it's not going to come without us making it happen. And as far as getting people out on the streets on a monthly basis, I mean, we've tried in Auckland, and we've had a lot of success too. And me and Vinny had some great times out in the streets, and with people from as far afield as Hamilton and Wellington coming along, and all sorts of people just joining in, and some great feedback. But we found a lot of infighting also. And sort of last year, I just kind of got sick of it, and got slack, and just thought, hey, you know, I'm having to go out of my way and spend money to go to downtown and try and sort this, and just finding a time that suits people is hard enough. And then because we're all prying minds and all coming from different perspectives on life, you know, you're going to have clashes.
That's very true.
And the topics don't just stay to 9/11, obviously, and nor should they. I don't believe in censoring people's discussions, and so you know, no one's in charge. But of course, that's going to bring about problems.
We face the same thing down here. I mean, you know, Helen and I, we were the only two who were able to make it yesterday because some other people had some stupid problems that just usually don't happen. But it was only two of us. And, you know, we both look at each other and say, well, do we just keep doing this? You know, this is hard work and takes a lot of time to prepare the DVDs and costs money to buy the DVDs and print the flyers.
That's the thing. It's the money thing. If the stress of money were taken off me and Vinny, I mean, I could say for one, I'd be out there a lot more and a lot more consistently. There's factors like that, but hey, you know, enough excuses. The problem is the nature of people, and we had our group down here in Auckland sort of break up, and people go separate ways, and some people not get back in touch with me over climate change debates and evolution versus creation debates and all sorts of stuff.
Which is why I always say, man, on the points you agree, come together and collaborate. On the points that you disagree, just leave them, man, because you'll never get anything accomplished.
Well, you say that.
And that's a prime example.
You say that, Vinny, but can you enforce that over a group? And if you do, are you any better than John Key? I mean,
I can't enforce anything. I mean, and I think that if you have to go and try and enforce something, then, you know, you obviously don't care about freedom.
The thing is, Vinny, it's a very, very, very easy thing to say. On the points we agree, come together, and the points we don't. Yeah, you can say that as much as you want. It's not going to change the way people act amongst each other, you know? If people have deep-rooted feelings that are 180 degrees away from your own, and you're trying to do some street activism together, they're going to come up now and then.
Yeah. You know, well, I think you have to – maybe you could – go back to these people, because I maybe we've been lucky down here so far, because we don't obviously agree with each other on everything, but there's like, you know, a few basic principles that we agree with, like controlled demolition. And when we talk to people, that's really all we start with. I mean, people will then try to, on the street, who are savvy about 9/11, will engage me in conversation, and then we can explore other opportunities, related topics. But
people come up to us and they'll sort of say, because, you know, a lot of the public has heard of these issues now, and they'll just start saying, anyway, what do you think about the moon landing, or what do you think about JFK, or what do you think about... this, that, and the other, right? As it's a form
aliens.
Of, sometimes it's a form of disinfo and trying to break you down, trying to make you into a kook. What do you think of greys and shape-shifting reptoids? What do you think of David Icke? What do you think of the Zeitgeist movement? And you see,
it's
and then,
guilt by association, you know, and that's the stupid thing because we've just got bigger enemies than other truthers.
But that's the thing. And then you get into these debates. Say there's 10 of you, and one guy asks you, what do you think about Peter Joseph at Zeitgeist, I could say is a complete shill, and someone else in my own group is going to get offended by that. You see, because people don't like freedom of speech. That's the problem. And so when Vinny says on the points that we agree, and the rest forget about it, people aren't going to, because invariably these conversations become engaged. You know, they
yeah. Well, that's just
deep.
That's just me. I mean, everybody else can, you know, go out and attack other truthers and try to destabilize the truth movement and try to divide everybody, and that's cool. You know,
but it's, part but of it's the actually, world order. But sometimes it's not that people are trying to destabilize. Sometimes it's people have got a firm idea of what is their truth, and then it conflicts with someone else. Yeah, and then it's only because they want what's best, right? Why do you go out and do what you do on the street anyway? Because you want to see society head in a good direction. Yeah, but so what's the point in protesting on one issue, say 9/11, if some other people you're protesting with are, I don't know, Freemason provocateurs for the very establishment that carried out 9/11? How about that? So you could say, we agree on 9/11, Vinny, and we're coming together with these guys because they're good and they agree about 9/11. But then
I won't support them on that other level as long as they support me on that one.
But you do by association. You support the pyramid by association. You see how it works? So for someone,
Hold on a second. If we're talking about supporting the pyramid by association, do you buy petrol? Do you buy food? Then you're guilty of supporting the establishment. It's stupid. Just like I was
Let me clarify that. I said you support them ideologically because you're not going out in the street protesting. It's not a form of consumerism. It's an ideological protest. Okay, so it's not like saying I went to Mobile yesterday, so therefore I'm with David Rockefeller. No. Ideologically, you're meant to be protesting what you believe in. If you go and protest what you believe in with people who are part of the very system you're meant to be against, then ideologically you are associated with them.
Well, what about approaching it from the point of view not as an ideologue, but as a teacher who's trying to teach people how to think and tell them that they should think? Tell them, look, I don't want you to agree with me. I want you to disagree with me and try to prove me wrong. And just to approach it from that point of view, like I was talking about, trying to expose people to the lost tools of learning, the trivium. And for example, with what I talk about with Building 7, citing the example of maybe one of the tallest buildings in Wellington that might only be 30 stories high, and say, to try to provoke people to think for themselves. Look at that building. What would you think if that building fell down into its own footprint for no apparent reason in 4 seconds? Because that would be the equivalent of a 30-story building versus the 47-story building. So as far as getting together with people is to try to find the common enemy, which is, the disinfo agents, and work together like that.
We are coming up to a very short break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We will be right back momentarily. Gentlemen, to the show that's a magnificent blend of comedy and conspiracy. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Please cruise in there and check out our fabulous archives. We have had some amazing guests on this show since we started up in mid-2010, and we're just going to keep on going. Also, we've probably interviewed more good old-fashioned Kiwi-based activists and researchers than any other show that I've ever heard of, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist, just means I haven't heard of them. Also, very much welcome back to our fabulous guest that we've been enjoying this last hour, Philip Rose from NZ911Truth.org. Phil, welcome back.
Thank you. I unmuted my microphone.
Oh, he's freaking onto it now.
Hey, you know, we were having a really interesting conversation during the break. And I'm just trying to encapsulate what, you know, what the message might be from that. And I guess I go back to the idea that when we're activists out there on the street and we're trying to get people to work with us, how do we get on the same page, you know, when it comes to talking about 9/11 truth? And I think, you know, we talked about difficulties that you can have with different people who have different opinions about other topics. And then that queers the deal and makes it too difficult to get along with people. But I think if we just think of ourselves as teachers with a certain curriculum, and this is what we're trying to expose newbies to, because it's like they're primary school students. We don't have to talk to them about creationism or global warming or anything like that. We're just trying to open their eyes about this major, this big psychological event, false flag event in New York City and Washington, D.C. and Shanksville, Pennsylvania on September 11, 2001. That's our curriculum, and that's all we need to agree on to get out there on the street and, you know, try to educate
people. That's true. I mean, yeah.
But,
the only problems
I mean, it's easier said than done, but anyway.
And the only problems I see is we're not just talking about 9/11, because invariably for 9/11 to be an inside job, a lot of other things have to be wrong with the world. And so, you know, so it delves into who's behind it and what's behind that, because, of course, the first people who are going to be interested in something like 9/11, the first sort of patriots to stand up, are going to be the most inquisitive people in society. They're not going to be minds you can easily regulate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're going to want to know ultimate truths. And that's the big debate. I don't know in my mind still, I'm unsure of. Do you confuse ultimate truths with everyday truths? Do you mix them in? I use a practice when I'm trying to get to know people I can trust that I probably would have learned from viewing the establishment. If you want to get into the SAS via over and above a regular troop, a regular corporal, you have to be far more specialized and pass more tests. You have to initiate yourself into a higher level of understanding, and therefore to properly be a soldier against the New World Order, so to speak, people should be initiated into higher levels of understanding beyond thermite brought down the World Trade Centers.
I think to be a primary school teacher, you don't have to, you know, be prepared to teach a university course.
Yeah, well, I've got my 9/11 ABC for you. WTC 1, 2, and 7, all brought down by controlled demolition.
doesn't rhyme, but it's pretty catchy.
The enemy is also willing to say that some people on the enemy side are also willing to say 9/11 was an inside job. And so if you keep it simple and people have simple understandings, then they're always going to be deceived by people with more complex understandings. So it's all the art of war. It's all Machiavelli and the Prince. I mean, it's complex stuff. And as soon as we start saying a complex world is simple, then we end up being part of the propaganda machine.
No, I know you're not trying to put words in my mouth, but I should clarify what I meant is that what I see 9/11 was like the gateway drug for me. I mean, it was 9/11 that woke me up about the New World Order and everything else. Before that, I was just this blinkered lefty. And so, you know, I've learned a lot, but it was 9/11 that got me into it in the first place. And that's what I try to tell people, too.
Did someone show you, or did you sort of show yourself?
Well, no, I mean, someone told me, watch Loose Change, and I did, and that was it. And but, I mean, I wasn't convinced necessarily by Loose Change, but that caused me to do my own research. And, of course, maybe not everyone's going to do that. But it's an indication to people that they should do their own investigation and, you know, be very, I don't know, cautious is not the word, because you shouldn't be cautious. You should try to find out what everybody's thinking. You're not going to learn things necessarily from people you're always going to agree with. You have to listen to people you're going to disagree with to challenge you.
Yeah, eclectic. That's what people say. Why don't you ignore those people who come from a different point of view to you? Why don't you just walk away from them and talk to people who with like minds? Well, that's not much of a challenge, is it? That's not how you learn.
That's pretty boring, too.
That's right. If you don't challenge your own belief structure, you'll keep believing what you've always believed, and you'll never learn a dang thing. Thank you very much, Phil, for coming on the show with us. Philip Rose, ladies and gentlemen, nz911truth.org. And if you are in Wellington listening to the show, you can probably meet up with them on the 911 Truth actions that they have on the 11th of every month. Phil, thanks for coming on the show, mate.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great job, Phil.
All right.
Thank you, Will.
There he goes. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You'll be able to catch up on the archives at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Thanks very much, and we'll see you tomorrow.